going to read some verses with you now from the Gospel according to St. Luke, and these verses are found at the end of the 9th chapter. So it's Luke's Gospel, chapter 9. I'm reading from verse number 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Here's a man who's keen to follow the Saviour. Here's a man who makes big and bold statements. I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And then in verse 58, Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And many today have a desire to be Christians, desire perhaps to be disciples, a desire to experience the grace and blessing of God in their lives, want to know that they're going to heaven, but they have this mentality that this individual has here. Suffer me first. But friends, that's not how the Christian life works. Matthew chapter 6, 33 says, But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And here's an individual who wants to follow the Lord, but he says to the Lord, Lord, suffer me first. Now, he's got legitimate things to see to, but it's that little principle that is the stumbling block. Suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And then another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first. And again, there's that same principle, me first. That's not how discipleship works. Discipleship is being willing to say, Christ first, the kingdom of God first. Not suffer me first, or let me first. Then it goes on, let me first go and bid them farewell which are at home in my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plough and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. And you see behind me here this great big plough. And the plough is so vital and so critical in agriculture, turning over the sod, preparing the ground for the sowing of the seed, looking forward to a harvest. First of all, the ground needs to be tilled, and the ground needs to be ploughed, and the ground needs to be turned over. And of course, back in Bible times, ploughs were a lot smaller, and ploughs were a lot more simple than they are today. And you maybe had a yoke of oxen or a horse, and the plough attached behind, and the farmer in behind that, or the charge hand in behind that, having his hand on the plough, guiding and directing the plough to plough a straight furrow. And anybody looking back, having their hand on the plough and looking back over the shoulder, the furrow's not going to be straight. And so a farmer that wants to have a good plot of ground and a good harvest wants to have furrows that are straight. And he that puts his hand to the plough and gets distracted and looks back with a longing to this world, like Lot's wife, as she was delivered from Sodom, she looked back and she became a pillar of salt. And so from this portion of scripture we learn that the Saviour is looking for disciples, followers, believers who will say Christ first, who will seek first the kingdom of God and will keep their eyes on Christ, their eyes on the prize, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And will not look back like Lot's wife with longing towards the world. Can I ask you today, is that the sort of Christian that you are? Are you the sort of Christian who steadfastly seeks first the kingdom, keeps your eyes on the prize, keeps your eyes on Christ, and is looking on, looking forward, the cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back, no turning back. Solemn words, no man having put his hand to the plough and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Keep your eyes, dear friends, on the prize. Keep looking to Christ. It'll be worth it all whenever we see him face to face. May God bless you. See you again next time.